God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll continue our sermon series through the Lord's Prayer, and today we pick up on the third petition, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this petition sort of names it very quickly, that we would want to do God's will as perfectly as it is done in heaven. And let me tell you, God's will in heaven is done perfectly. Now, you may be saying, Pastor, what about the war that's talked about in Revelation? You know, with St. Michael and the angels and the devil and that rebellion. Well, there was that great war. There was that rebellion. But after the rebellion, God did something to the angels. He fixed their wills. The good angels now always see the Father's face. And henceforth, because they see the Father's face, they always do the Father's will. Think of it this way. You've heard the cliche, while the cat's away, the mice will play. Very appropriate. So if you're seeing the Father, you're going to do the Father's will. Likewise, when parents are around, children are usually a little bit more obedient. But when the parents leave, what happens? Chaos. The kids think they are in charge. So likewise with the angels. But notice what God did after that. He fixed their wills. They now always see the Father's face, at least the good angels. So needless to say, whatever the Father decides and says, it is done. It goes almost back to the beginning when God said, let there be light. Did the light have any choice? Did the light sit there and say, let me think about it. I'll get back to you tomorrow, God, okay? No, there was light. Likewise, the heavens and the earth. The seas, the trees, the animals. Adam, when God made Adam, did Adam have a choice? Again, the answer is no. There was Adam. Now, in this petition, we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to be careful about this. Because is God's will always done here on earth? The answer is no. First of all, we have to come to the realization that God wills all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, and that's all people. But does that mean everyone's going to be with Him in heaven above? God wants it that way, but that isn't always what takes place. See, the point I'm sort of getting down to is, do you think in the back of your mind that God has controlled every single step you take? Do you think that God has destined your life, so to speak, that no matter what you say or do, God has already prescripted it? The answer is no. If that was the case, then all would be saved and everyone would be going to heaven. But unfortunately, and I use the word unfortunately, that's not the case. God gave mankind, in one essence, a free will. We saw what happened with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When temptation came, they disobeyed God's will. Sin was brought into this world, and God's perfect creation was corrupted. And in that perfect creation, death was also a result because of sin. We see the effects of sin in our lives. And because of that, we even say that sin resides even within us. Even after we've been baptized, even after we have the Holy Spirit within us, there's still that sinful nature that's still within us that while we're still on this side of heaven, we have to struggle with. So needless to say, it would be great, in one essence, if we always did the Father's will. But deep down inside, there's a major contender within us. And that's ourself. So when we pray these words, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what we're really saying is, Lord, help me to do Your will. I understand Your will is the best will for my life. Help me to do it. And realize that within me there is a struggle going on. The Spirit within me wanting to do the good things God wants. And my own sinful nature that says, I'd rather do things my way than God's way. Let me back up for a moment and go back to the part of where we're talking about God did not predestine every step we take. Sometimes we think for a moment that, you know, as we read the Bible, what about Herod? What about Pontius Pilate? What about Judas? Did they have any choice in the parts they played for our salvation? We may remember that, yes, Jesus the Christ is innocent. He is sinless. He had no reason to be handed over to the leaders. He had no reason to be put on trial. He had no reason to be crucified. But this was God's plan of salvation. Did they have any choice in God's plan of salvation? Were they destined to commit the acts that they did? And the answer is no. It's interesting, as soon as Jesus says to Pontius Pilate, basically, let me paraphrase here, he says, "The one who handed me over to you is the one with the greater sin." Pontius Pilate's wheel started turning in the back of his mind. He started thinking, wait a minute, that's right. This is a sin. This isn't right. You shouldn't be here. How can I get you out of this situation? And notice the scriptures testify on how Pontius Pilate tried his best to get Jesus out of the situation. But he didn't try hard enough. It was within his power to release him, but he felt the political pressure of his circumstance around him, bowing down to the religious leaders of the time. Likewise, as Christians, we also face similar temptations and similar structures in our own lives. What happens in our own life when we know what we're doing is wrong, but it seems like that's what we're going to do anyway? Within us, there's sort of that little bit of that war going on. And what do? Do we always choose God's way? Or do we sometimes give in to our own way? We have to admit, even in our own lives, we don't see ourselves as Christians always doing God's will. Henceforth, no, we are not just robots, so to speak. We don't have fixed wills. So needless to say, we need to pray this prayer. Let me reiterate this point from Romans chapter 7, verse 18 through 20. Paul writes to us, he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Paul here in this section of Romans names that struggle between us and our sinful nature and that of the Holy Spirit. So needless to say, Jesus is teaching us these words to say, "Thy will be done," referring to the Father's will on earth as it is in heaven. God teaching us that, yes, we need to try to put down that sinful nature within us. Try to do God's will. And we ask the Lord, because only He is able to help us. Because if it was up to ourselves, as Martin Luther reminds us in the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, Martin Luther says, "I cannot by my own reason or strength even believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit is the one who calls me, who gathers and enlightens me." It is God who works that spirit within us. It's God who works that spirit so that we can do His will within us. How easy is it to do God's will? Well, let me just get to the bottom line. The bottom line is, when His will agrees with our will, then it's pretty easy. But when His will disagrees with our will, it gets a little challenging. We have to come to the realization that our sinful nature is pretty strong within us. Let me use the example of suffering. Most of us don't like to suffer. If you do like to suffer, just go outside for about 10 minutes, then come back inside and enjoy the air conditioning. Again, I think I'll make my point really clear. If it's not made clear right now as you came into church, by the end of church service, more than likely it's probably going to be a few degrees even hotter, and it'll be clear then. Okay, we don't like suffering. And when suffering enters our lives as Christians, what do we like to do? We like to say, "Lord, take this suffering away from us." But what happens when the suffering isn't taken away from us? What happens when things still continue to go wrong? Then do we not start complaining to God and saying, God, where are you? And sometimes people will even get antagonistic against God and get saying, God, how can you allow this into my life? Thinking that suffering is some great evil. Not that we promote suffering or that we encourage suffering, but let us remember, when Jesus went to the cross, he suffered. This was painful. If those of you who have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ saw very vividly, as well as Hollywood could depict, the pain and suffering that goes on with the crucifixion. So Jesus naturally did suffer, even to the point of death. And if Jesus, our Lord and Savior, can suffer and die, obviously suffering and death is not the ultimate evil. What is the ultimate evil? That of sin. Anything that drives us away from a loving and gracious God. God allows various types of sufferings and trials into our lives in order to strengthen us, in order to draw us closer to Him, to remind us that we need a Savior. Some of you know that before I came to Trinity, I served as a hospital chaplain. Had a wonderful opportunity in the emergency rooms to minister to families in the time of great grief and crisis. All of a sudden, they were now more receptive to hear God's word than they were when things were going well in their lives. So it is also with us. It's sometimes during these times of sufferings and trials and tribulations, we are more open to saying, okay, God, what is your word here? What does your word say to us? What is your will? Help me to understand that will, Lord, and help me to accept it. Because plain and simple, this afternoon, if you go outside and you don't like the heat because it's 100 degrees with the humidity almost at 100% and you're suffering outside, can you do anything about it? You can't change the weather. You can change your location, though. You can get inside to where the air conditioning is. But it doesn't do any good to complain about the weather. We can't change it. Likewise, when sufferings and trials and tribulations come into our lives, you know, sometimes we can maneuver things around a little bit. But ultimately, we need to remember this third petition. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help me to accept your will. Help me to realize that, yes, you do love me. You are there by my side. You have delivered us from sin, death, and the devil. But too often as Christians, we want to call upon God in the time of trouble, and we want his deliverance, and we want it our way, not necessarily God's way. Let me pick up on for a moment a Bible passage from Psalm chapter 50, verse 15. The psalmist says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. There are three components to that one verse. One, in the time of trouble, we call upon the Lord. That's number one. Usually we get that one right. Number two, God's promise for deliverance. And number three, that we glorify him. See, too often our sinful nature would like to rewrite that Bible passage to be this way. Lord, when I'm in trouble, I want you to deliver me from trouble, but deliver me from trouble the way I want to be delivered. And then I'll say thank you. Maybe. Because that's as our sinful nature would rather have it. It's more I-focused instead of God-focused. What is your will, Lord? See, too often we have to come to the understanding that we can't see beyond our own circumstances. We are not all-knowing and all-powerful like the Almighty God is. He knows all things, and he has delivered us. Maybe not necessarily from our particular point of suffering and trial that we would like deliverance from. But let's not forget the cross, where he ultimately saves our life. You see, too often as Christians, we are so worried about the little things in our lives around us, we lose sight of the deliverance that he has given to us through his Son on the cross. The forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, to live forever in glory instead of in the depths of hell. Now, hell is always pictured as a fiery pit where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Spend 10 minutes outside this afternoon. You might get a little bit of a picture of what it means to be in hell. Just a little bit of a picture. God has delivered us from that. Shouldn't we say thank you? But when things don't go our way, our sinful nature kicks in and says, come on, God, help me out. But our sinful nature is very hard to please. Have you ever met someone where no matter what you do, you just can't please them? Unfortunately, God has a lot of Christians like that. We struggle through life after knowing that we have the forgiveness of sins and God's glory and eternal life, and all of a sudden we're saying, okay, Lord, I'm still not happy. I need this, this, and this to take place. It's interesting. In my email, I have sort of a junk email category that automatically tries to sift through a lot of the junk email. It's pretty successful. But every once in a while, I have to go through that junk email just to make sure that nothing got put in there by mistake. It's always interesting. They play to my sinful nature. What does this junk email like to suggest? Get rich quick. You don't have to work, just get rich. Here's something for free. It doesn't cost you anything. Here it is. I keep smiling at those and sitting there going, yeah, yeah. You really want me to click here and go to that website? I don't think so. But my sinful nature is sitting there going, yeah, yeah. Isn't it all about me? How can I get how can I get rich quickly? How can I enjoy life? How can I have it all here and now? And God, in one essence, is saying, well, what's more important? The here and now or eternal life? I promised you eternal life. Here's God's deal with us. He gives us the forgiveness of sins. Even though we keep gravitating and glorifying of the things of this world instead of the heavenly things, He says, that's okay, there's still forgiveness, I still love you. Even though you'd rather chase after the get-rich-quick schemes. I've prepared a place for you in heaven above, Jesus says, as we're sort of making our little nest, so to speak, here on earth and decorating it all nicely and forgetting about God's promises up ahead. And it's only during the times of sufferings and trials then we come to our Lord and saying, okay, Lord, things in my life aren't going well. Help me out. And God says, I still love you. Even though you're not always paying attention. I still love you, even though you desire the things of this world more than the things of heaven above. And God says, don't worry, I'll still help you out. I will still deliver you in the times of trouble. I will still give you strength. So we come here today to hear God's word, to receive that strength. We come here to be nurtured by fellow Christians and encouraged in the faith. We come to receive even Christ Himself in the bread and wine for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. We come before our Lord and we say, Lord, have mercy. I have been more attached to the things of this world than the things above. Lord, let your will be done within me as it is in heaven. This is where our Lord and Savior would like to have us at. If we have a hard time with that, we can call upon Him for strength and encouragement. And He does provide. He will show us His will. He will help us to love one another and bestow that forgiveness to those around us. So on this day, as the Chicagoland area is dealing with a lot of heat, there'll be a lot of people in suffering. We hopefully will have the opportunity to find ourselves in some sort of air conditioning. But more importantly, no matter how hot it gets or how bad our lives seem to be, we know we have eternal life in heaven above because of what Christ has done. So the next time we pray this prayer, let's truly mean it by saying, Lord, let your will be done, and let it be done within me. In your name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.